You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The United Steelworkers Union is condemning the use of hundreds of Mexican police in an attack on striking workers at a major steel plant that killed four union workers. USW spokesman Jim McKay.
Leo Girard, the president of the union, has called the Fox administration's actions murderous and one of the most heinous in all of Latin America.
The strikers joined thousands of other workers who went on strike across Mexico in support of Napoleon Gomez, a labor leader removed from office by the Mexican government. Gomez was ousted after questioning how the government handled a mining disaster that killed 65 workers. He had called for an investigation into the disaster. The steelworkers are working in unison with the Mexican Union.
The Mexican Union, of which we are a partner, has defended the strike as legitimate and has called for an investigation.
Mexican police killed the workers at the Zacarza steelmaking complex in western Mexico. The first post-Katrina election in New Orleans results in a runoff election in May to elect a city government.
Incumbent Mayor Ray Nagin finished first yesterday with a comfortable 9-point lead on Mitch Landrieu, but far short of the 50% needed to win the race outright. Nagin reacted to his success with humor.
I stand here before you, a humble man, someone who never thought that I would have this kind of support after some of the crazy things I've said.
Criminal Sheriff Marlon Guzman won re-election easily, despite a scandal over his failure to evacuate New Orleans Parish Prison during last fall's flooding. The composition of New Orleans City Hall remains unknown, with 4 seats out of 7 to be decided in the May 20th runoff. Roughly 150 poll monitors were mobilized yesterday by nonpartisan groups, including the NAACP. Throughout the coming week, elections officials will continue to count some of the 16,000 absentee ballots that were mailed out, but they are unlikely to change the outcome of most races. For Workers Independent News, Christian Roseland, New Orleans.
When it rains, all my friends go away.
God doesn't like me anymore.
The wind could come, take your house.
Santa won't know where to find me.
Mommy scared the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane?
You can drown in your bed if you fall asleep.
A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647 to make sure they move on healthy and happy. That's 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you 24 hours a day. It's confidential and free. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The International Longshore and Warehouse Union says a new federal security ID program that may be unveiled as soon as this week could cost thousands of port workers their jobs and disrupt the flow of goods into the U.S. The Transportation Workers Identification Credential Program might bar undocumented workers and convicted felons. Details of the program, though, are still being ironed out.
Here's the WIN Economic Report. Is General Motors shrinking or growing? Daewoo, the GM South Korea affiliate, has rehired 1,700 workers it laid off in 2001 and will serve as a base for GM to expand in South Asian markets. The South Korean firm will develop the basic components that GM will use to produce many small vehicles around the world. In 2005, GM sold more cars abroad than it did in North America. While GM workers in the U.S. see their numbers shrink, the automaker is growing its workforce elsewhere.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
God, it's Monday. I am Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts. I am, of course, broadcasting remotely from the old stomping grounds in northwest Alabama, and glad to be with you. Of course, you know, the weekend's a little better now that I'm not just sitting idle. There's, you know, more horn programming, more Head On Radio Network programming for you over the weekends now. Of course, Joe Vecchio, his third trip through. Wow, how time flies. His third trip through on Saturday night, followed, of course, by John Fox and Bruce Birch and see what happens on a weekend. And Fourth Estate, then Sundays, of course, with Grace and Rama and Bruce Birch and All Things. So, you know, there's at least a little something. There's a lot of something there to keep my brain engaged until Monday finally comes and I get to join you again. So, you know, all things being equal, can I just say something? And that something is, I hate CNN. And it galls me to say that. It hurts my soul to say that. I used to be a proud employee of that outfit. Got Ted Turner's autograph every 2 weeks and everything. So I don't know. It just hurts my soul when I see embarrassing crap like I witnessed this afternoon. To wit, Wolf Blitzer. Opining with William Bennett and Howie Kurtz about what should happen to, what's her name, Mary O. McCarthy. Mary O. McCarthy. Okay, Agnes tells me that I need to reconnect. I have no idea what's going on here. Stand by, please.
You are listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network. We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network. We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Okay, so let's see if this works out a little bit better this time. This is highly frustrating. We've managed to make it work on a number of different levels, but somehow or another, when you know, it's the curse of the Kincaids. But I am glad to be with you. I don't know, Agnes dear, if I'm broadcasting, could you do me the kindness of perhaps opening the mic and telling me so? Or,
yes, okay, dear, you are.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
It's all, you know, you get a little lost when you don't know if you're speaking to anybody, because when you're just sitting somewhere yammering aimlessly at a microphone, if there's nobody else out there, you might be a little insane. But I'm not, and you're not, and we're not. Everything's happy. Now, just let me throw it out there for your consumption or consideration one more time, because I don't know how much was lost or not lost, or how much was heard. I do loathe CNN. And today's offense, if you will, was this business of William Bennett opining on the evils of Mary McCarthy for ratting out Bush administration lies, misdeeds,
evil, sins, you know, whatever kind of word you want to attach to it. And that fat, pompous, gambling junkie who has no business even so much as screaming on a street corner, let alone appearing on national media, is sitting there saying, well, Mary McCarthy, she released information that can be used by our enemies in time of war against us. We talk about
changing the frame, and we talk about not using their words, whether it's homeland or any of these other little Orwellian tidbits that we get foisted off on us on a weekly basis by these evil bastards. Can we add one to the list? Would it be okay with you? Can we add to that list that we are no longer going to refer to what George Bush is doing in and to the people of Iraq and the greater Middle East as a war? Because at least within the framework of the United States Constitution, it ain't. It's his attack. It is his blitzkrieg. But it's not a war, because war only happens when Congress declares it. And this in time of war bug spray that I have to listen to from the likes of William Bennett is just about enough to make me, well, never mind. In time of war, my left hind foot. December 7th, 1941 to roughly August 1945 was in time of war. And although World War I was mostly evil, it was a declared war. This is not in time of war. And, you know, to hear, the enemy might use information that Mary McCarthy gave to Dana Priest of the Washington Post. They could use that information. Yeah, gotcha. Because Osama has been a subscriber to the Washington Post he's got the steak knives. That's how long he's been subscribed to the Washington Post. So, you know, you get maybe a little idea of what we're dealing with here. Agnes, tell you what, can you crank me up a little music? Let's take a break. I don't know what's wrong here. Pardon me, I'm frustrated. And we'll try to get things cooking again, so could I get a little music, please, dear? Thank you. This is Head On. I like Mondays, but like Bob Geldof says there, tonight, not so much. I'm talking. Now, if you're on hold, we'll get right to it.
Silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Tell me why. Types to a way.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
What does Alison Krauss remember about music class when she was a kid?
My fondest memory of music class is kind of just an overall memory, not a specific instance, because music was something completely different than any other class in school. It was, I remember it as all being fun, and the reward wasn't, you know, a great test score, and it wasn't a higher grade. It was getting to be a part of an ensemble and singing something at the end where everybody knew their part. It was all fun and games to me, and yeah, you made friends. You know, I found that you made friends that lasted really long time, at least the ones that, for me, that have lasted the longest are ones that I met in school chorus or in music classes and not who I sat next to in math.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Home in the valley.
Okay, it seems that we're having some technical difficulty, but until Bob gets back, we'll take calls. David, you're on. Hello? Hello, David.
Oh, now I can hear you.
Okay. How are you?
You are the host tonight, aren't you?
I'm just trying to help out a little bit.
I think it's time you come clean with the truth. I'm a truth seeker. I believe Bob is a PSYOPS program from the Pentagon, and the program has broken down.
Oh,
I'm going to take this directly to Alex Jones. The gig is up.
Oh, no. The gig's never out, and no, he's not an ops.
Well, I guess we can discuss the issues of the day, and the first thing I want to start with is something that was under the radar, but YouTube pulled a video last night,
okay,
which showed American soldiers getting slaughtered by jihadists.
Oh, man.
But here's the interesting thing about it. They showed a video of a murder of troops and whatnot, but it was up there for 2 months without any complaints, and I find that hard to believe. And they had 5,000 viewings.
That's pretty unusual. I mean,
I know, it's pretty unusual. The other bizarre thing about the video is there was theme music to it.
Theme music?
Islamic theme music in the background while they're just gunning these soldiers apart.
Maybe propaganda?
I think everybody says that the film is real, and I believe what I was hearing about it, and it looks like that this is a message to foreigners and whatnot to stop disrupting cultures, I guess. One of the things that I find interesting about this, though, is this ties into what I was going to talk with Bob, but you are just as equal to Bob.
Oh, thank you. I'm not, but
I'll try
to muddle through.
I'm sure you'll have virtually close to the same answer as Bob.
I hope I will.
Here's the problem I have with Columbine, OJ, everything that comes down the line of murders and killers is every time we put a focus on something horrible, it puts the focus for more people to follow and to be copycats and martyrs.
Really?
I believe. That is exact. Now think about this, Agnes. If those kids who were planning to go in Columbine, why do you think they did that? Because they knew that their lives were not going to amount to nothing, but they saw the attention that all the news networks give these school shootings and whatnot. And they did that with time. See, they love to hate these people, but really, they love serial killers, and it's this fascination that it just goes beyond the pale. And it's the same thing. We have this fascination with terrorists. And this is going to tie in what I say. We have this fascination with terrorists. We say we hate them, but you know, Agnes, we talk about them an awful lot.
That's true.
We talk about them like I look on a message board, and every single day I see someone like, well, we need to nuke Tehran. And I was thinking, if you were in an al-Qaeda terrorist camp and you didn't have much going for you and you knew your country and your infrastructure was falling apart and you knew that a genocide was taking place every day, but you could become a hero or a martyr in the flash of a second, and the Western media would propel that to even greater heights, what would be your option if you knew that you were going to go to heaven anyway?
Well, if you realize it's not going to get any better, then, you know, what else can you do?
That is exactly what I'm talking about. And the problem with this is that the American media and the Western media and maybe European media, to a degree, they are so complicit in helping out the promotion and the publicity of killers, murderers, jihadists, bombers, whatnot. So in a way, they need them for ratings, as twisted as that sounds.
Well, one thing, if you look at it, the invasion of Iraq started out for weapons of mass destruction. Then it went to giving them freedom. Bruce Birch touched on it last night about the slave trade that's going on with young females in Iraq right now. You're not going to see this in the mainstream media. They don't want you to see this. It's all turning to crap.
And they're obsessed with the murders and whatnot.
Well, exactly. But what they're doing is they're glorifying them here. They're glorifying the murders, and the young people are looking at it. They're seeing what's going on. They're finding their own cause. You know, there's a lot of complacency with America right now, but there's enough of disturbing things going on, just like Columbine, and you're finding it to be more prevalent now than what it was, you know, 10 years ago.
I'll give you an example. Ann Coulter is going to release her book on 666. It's a perfect example that these people who purport and say, well, we're not into evil and whatnot, they're fascinated by it.
Exactly. Well, Ann Coulter is 666. You know? She's
a succubus, for sure.
Well, that's true, too. You know, yeah. We haven't figured out quite what she is, but one of the problems with Ann Coulter is she's kind of the shell game. You know, pay attention to her and what she spews, and that way you don't really focus on what's going on.
I talked to Bob about this, and I said that the liberal and progressive media still doesn't get it, that Ann Coulter wants you to hate her. That's the game, people.
Exactly.
That simple.
She's the Republicans' whipping dog.
And you know, what's funny, though, is that if you look at her back history, the way she was just like in college, just like the way she is today.
Right.
Exactly. She hasn't grown up. So maybe there's a symptom here where Republicans keep that hateful immaturity in them, and they never grow up.
I'm not sure if it's immaturity or just some type of desire to rule the world.
I call it a cruel immaturity or hate. Some people grow out of that when they're in high school and whatnot.
Exactly.
But see, the problem is that they never
grow out of it.
Grow out of it, and I think that's exactly what Bush, the same problem that Bush has, the same problem that Cheney has.
Right.
I don't know any, the interesting thing is I don't know any back history of Condi Rice, but I bet you there is some.
Well, I'm sure there is. She's been with the Bush administration for years. I mean, you know, she's been one of the leading people that he's carried around with him. She's very well educated, but I don't see the family values focus there. She's unmarried.
I'd like to hear what she was interested in college and some of her quotes, like the same kind of quotes they have like from Bush, like in his college days he kept up a Confederate flag just to annoy people in his college. Did you hear about that one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So it's Bush has done a little bit of everything, but the American people seem to have ignored it. And hopefully with this election coming, you know, we'll take our government back.
Hopefully we will. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was the fact that we have 8 generals now. 8 generals coming forward saying, we want Rumsfeld to resign. I mean, how many more is it going to take? Maybe we have to get up to the president number of 43 generals.
Well, they're going to circle the wagon, but
yeah.
The wagon's falling apart. Everybody in the administration is going down. So, you know, hopefully.
Do you think that means that more than likely most of them will resign, or that's not going to happen? It's just they're going to stick out the whole term.
I think they're going to fight to stay where they are, but with the discord that's taking place in America right now, I believe that there'll end up being an impeachment. If there's not an impeachment, then come election day, if it's not rigged, then the Democrats will be back in power.
I agree with you there. And on the what was your reaction to Prince Harry saying he wanted to go fight in Iraq? Do you believe that he really believes in the war, or is this just a way for him to do a silent protest since he's in the royal family? My mom suggested that one. So
I was shocked, actually, because the UK, you know, has a different opinion of this war than what we do. They're very sick and tired of it. We've heard that from Andy and from Sue.
Right.
You know, they're tired of seeing their military be slaughtered.
So do you think that this is Harry's silent protest, or do you think he really believes in a cause for patriotic war, because I've never heard Harry say anything on camera, so I don't know.
Well, I've not heard any of the views from the royal family. They're very silent, private people. You know, they
right.
come out every once in a while,
like
and
Prince
I think this
Charles,
is yeah, I think this is his rebellion. You know, he wasn't happy that his father married Camilla. And I think this is his way of rebelling against the family, because Tony Blair seems to be the only one that's agreeing with what's going on. And even now he's backing away.
That's quite a bold rebellion.
It's a bold rebellion, and it's a very dangerous one.
Yeah, I don't think that they'll put him on the front lines, though.
Well, David, I missed my hard break.
You missed your hard break.
I missed my hard break. Let me get back to this.
I also wanted to say Friday, Neil Young's album comes up on the web, Living with War.
Oh, cool.
They're streaming it live, so I just want to leave people with that.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day, Agnes.
You too, David. Thanks
Bye.
For calling. And we're going to take our break and see where Bob is. This is Head On.
He's the granola Ayatollah of canola. Charles Ford, founder of Grassoline Solutions, explains.
I just started writing rhymes while I was farming and doing the eco thing, so that's kind of how this all came about.
Ford spits the truth.
Now, Rudolph Diesel was no weasel, this we know to be true. He was an engineer and a humanitarian, too. He made it possible for us to drive on vegetable fuel. Nobody told you that, well, that's what I'm trying to do. It was back around the turn of last century when Dr. Diesel offered up this opportunity. Corn, soy, chicken, fats, and flour, flax, hemp, seed. Farmers could grow their own fuel. Not only their feed, small towns can be self-sufficient about their energy needs without drilling or spilling or paying a fee. It's like that.
Biodiesel reduces cancer-causing emissions by 75%. For more EcoWrap and all the 411 on biodiesel,
Grassoline.com. Check us out.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Can you imagine a world without children? A world without their smiles or their laughter? A world where children don't play or sing or dream or imagine?
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we can't imagine a world without children. That's why we're working every day. to find cures for diseases that strike down children everywhere. Diseases like cancer, pediatric AIDS, and sickle cell. And we won't stop until every child is cured and every disease is defeated. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To learn how you can help, call 1-800-931-0800 or log on to our website, stjude.org.
You're back with Head On, and we're still waiting on Bob, but we're going to go back to the phones and take your calls. Andrew?
Hello.
How are you?
How you doing?
Not too bad.
You sound great as a host.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yes, yes. I hope everything gets back online soon for you.
Oh, I do too, because I really miss Bob.
Oh, God. I guess Agent Fred, he's getting irritated. I don't know.
Well, you know, he can get irritated very quickly. I don't want to have to go get him.
Oh, God. But, no, I was just calling up because just everything going on. But you know how American sentiment is starting to, you know, kind of wake up towards the negative end on Bush on the gas prices and everything like that.
Right.
I think in the end, when everything comes out, if it does get out, and they do a full investigation of the oil industry and the secret Cheney meetings and all of that, this is going to be the 21st century Enron.
That's true.
There's no other word, you know, for it. That's what it's going to be. This is the next big scandal.
Well,
industry, you know, especially for the oil industry.
I don't know if you remember Bob calling from North Dakota, but he said that a large area that had wells there had been shut down. And
shrinking the supply.
Exactly, so that they could put the grip on us and squeeze a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, summer's coming. There's always a gas hike, and it's already, what, $2.85 a gallon now? That's ridiculous.
And they said, what, it only cost them around $20 to pull it out of the ground.
Right.
I mean, if it's costing you $20 to pull it out of the ground, but you charge in $75 barrel prices.
True.
Okay, I see where you're making, you know, $3.5 billion a month.
Well, I'm waiting to see where Hugo Chavez kicks in here and says, well, you know, I'll help you out. And the Bush crime family jumps in and says, no, thank you.
No, they're not. They're not going to take any help from Chavez.
Of course not.
Chavez.
No, they don't like Chavez, and
he's a nice guy.
Chavez doesn't like Condi either.
No.
He calls her a girl.
Well, who does like Condi? I don't know.
Nobody likes Condi.
I don't even know. But well, that's all pretty much I had to say. But
well, I'm glad you called in.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And on the line, we have Andy from the UK. Andy?
Hey, Agnes. How's it going?
Not too bad. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm a bit panicked, actually. You should have warned me you had someone called Andrew on. I thought I was in trouble.
No, you're safe. I don't think that they're doing the spy program there.
No. It was images of my mother. Andrew.
She finally caught you, didn't she?
No, well, yes, I wanted to ring up as well as Andrew and congratulate you on being an excellent host.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm just a stand-in.
Well, Bob's going to be getting worried. He'll be after his job next.
Oh, no, he has no worries on that account. We were talking about Prince Harry earlier, wanting to join forces. What do you think about this?
Well, the deal behind that is that he is an officer of British Army, okay?
Okay.
He's passed out of Sandhurst, which is sort of our West Point, I think. But West Point's a Marine thing, but you know what I mean.
Right.
But he's an officer in charge of a squad of men and so forth. I mean, he's not particularly high up, but he's like a lieutenant or a sergeant or something possibly. But the deal is that he wants to go to war only because we're in a war. and his regiment is being sent to Iraq, and he wants to go with his boys.
Ah, okay.
He's done the training with them. You know, he spent like a year and a half or something quite intensively with these groups of people. He's done exercises in various places around the world. And, you know, I mean, he's a soldier now, do you know what I mean? And so he sees it as his duty, having been brought up in a house where duty is everything, that he has to go with his men, do you know what I mean? Now, the army are a bit worried about that. Not so much he might get killed, although that would be unfortunate. It's just that if they knew he was there, and they would, then people who don't like us in Iraq would probably be, you know, more out to get him. And so it would bring a greater risk to the rest of the regiment.
Right.
So
they'd be gunning for him, literally.
Hmm?
They would be gunning for him, literally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, imagine capturing... Well, they could literally demand the withdrawal of the British forces, couldn't they, if they captured him alive?
Oh, without a doubt. That would be one of the wickedest chess games that was ever played.
Yeah, well, you know, it's happened in the past. And to be honest with you, British royal family has sacrificed spares in the past. I mean, what might happen is they'd just marry William off and get his girlfriend pregnant. Harry doesn't matter anymore, so, you know, they can tell the terrorists, oh, you've got no more bargaining power because we don't need him. So, but, you know, the it's strictly an internal army thing. The army is saying, we don't think it's a good idea. He's saying he wants to go. And it's really not up to anyone outside of the chiefs of staff to make the mind up, you know what I mean?
Right.
What do you carry on?
Oh, I knew that he had graduated from the British Military Academy, but I didn't realize that he was actually participating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a fully signed up member of the British Army.
Wow.
I mean, Prince Charles ended up in the Navy, and Prince Andrew actually fought in the Falklands War. He was a helicopter pilot. I mean, he didn't, you know, fire shots. He was flying people about. But do you remember the ship got hit by the Exocet missile and burnt? Back in 1981, I think.
That's been quite a while.
Yeah, well, that was Prince Andrew was flying people off that, like injured people and stuff. So he flew in combat zones. So it's not like we haven't had them at risk before. But most of the time, the royal family joins the Navy over here because they're slightly safer on a ship than somewhere where somebody can possibly hijack or kidnap them. So yeah, it's one of those interesting ones, and it's gonna be interesting to see what happens. I doubt he'll be allowed to go.
I realized that Charles's brother had been in the Navy.
Mm.
But
well,
of
even
course,
Charles was in the Navy for a while, although he wasn't allowed anywhere remotely dangerous.
Right. Well, Andy, thank you so much for calling.
No, that's cool.
I'm going to bring John Fox on.
Cool. Well, hey, John, how's it going?
Hey, mate, how are you?
I'm all right, man. How's it going?
When did this turn into, like, English tabloid radio? Suddenly I get tuned in and I'm hearing about the British royal family. What's going on?
Well, somebody brought up Harry going to Iraq, so I just thought I'd phone and explain why and wherefores of that situation. So,
Harry's going to Iraq?
Well, he wants to. He sees it as duty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause, I mean, he's an officer. He's a fully paid-up member of the forces, so... He's been training with people for, you know, 18 months, and he feels like one of the band of brothers or whatever it is they feel in the military, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of... I don't know quite what to say to that, you know? Here's a kid with connections that could probably get out of it if he wanted. I guess there's something on our side that can learn from that.
He won't be allowed to go. It's too risky for him. I mean, you know, if he got kidnapped, then we'd be screwed, so... you know, it's not going to happen, but he really wants to go.
Could you imagine that would be one bargaining chip that you wouldn't want to stick out there. What is petrol going for out there these days?
Over here?
In
US dollars, it works out at about $6.50 a gallon.
$6.50 a gallon, okay.
Yeah.
I did math the other day. We're pushing $7.07 US down here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty intense. I mean, over here, people would be protesting about that, but it'll be that in about a year here.
And I think one of the things that's made it worse over here is the fact that the excise tax, I think, is actually a percentage on the actual cost, not by on the gallon. So as the price goes up, the tax revenue goes up.
Oh, yeah, we've got the same thing, like a fixed tax rate. But but our tax is fixed towards the consumer end rather than the wholesale end, so the wholesalers pay a relatively low amount of tax on wholesaling and refining the gas, but over here we pay like 80% or so is tax.
I'm not sure what it is here, but what I think is truly insane about this little rock that I live on is they could be completely free from ever importing one drop of petrol, oil, whatever, crude oil in any form. They could completely get themselves off because they have the largest natural gas reserves on the planet.
Same sort of situation over here. We have no need to import, or we should have no need to import any petrol or gas, and yet we do. Because what we do here is we sell our gas cheap to Europe and buy in expensive gas. We have one pipeline that comes off the east coast of the UK, north of sort of the Wash, Kent area, and it goes straight across to Holland, and we sell gas out of that. And then we've got another pipeline that comes across the short bit between Dover and Calais, and we buy gas in that comes all the way across Europe from the Ukraine and Russia. And we pay for the gas.
You have to wonder what you know, these are not the people's resources, that's for sure.
I know, well, it's all a big racket, isn't it?
It is. It's an absolute racket, because just purely, and as Gail just reminded me, is that the half of the natural gas reserves that Australia has are actually East Timor's.
Right,
and
yeah.
We kind of stole them, and now we get a pittance of the profits back, and we think that that's, you know, fair trade.
Yeah, but, I know.
It's a bit of a joke. Andy, thanks for ringing in, and thanks for helping fill some time as we did a little bit of the dance around. But
that's cool, man. Don't worry.
Hey, man.
I'm going to sign off.
Great
day, man. Take care.
It's a pleasure for me to get to talk to you. So we'll talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Take it easy. Bye, mate.
All right. Bye-bye. And I do believe we have Bob from North Dakota on line 3. As I wake up, it's barely like 9 o'clock. Oh, not even 10 o'clock in the morning here, folks.
Wake up there, John Fox.
Well, you know, I woke up. Things are going dodgy.
I want to give a shout out to Andy. I want to give a shout out to Andy over there in the UK, and to my brother in New York, Andrew. To you, my brother, you are the man. And to you, John Fox, down here, down under.
Yes, sir.
I want to say, you know, like Agnes had mentioned just a little bit about what they're playing with the oil fields up here in North Dakota. Not very many people know of the Bakken Field. The Bakken Field, okay? It's called the Bakken Field.
Okay. Tell me more.
The Bakken Field is a huge, huge sand field deep, deep down in the earth, okay?
Yes,
and they slant drill into it, and they proved the field back in the 80s. And now they're setting up these straws that go half a mile to a mile underneath the earth, and they just lay them out there. These things, they have choked back. They have choked them. They didn't shut them off. They choked them back.
Why did they do this?
They did it for one reason. Because, you see, all the oil in North Dakota is being pumped north into Canada. So it can be they pump it north into Canada so they can bring it back into the United States as imported oil.
This is a joke. And not only that,
hey, John, you got that wrong. It's not a joke. It is a... What do you call that thing? It's a fraud. It's a fake. It's a...
It's a crime.
It's a crime, yes, but it's more than that. The American people are so sheeple. What's that guy on Air America calls them, sheeple?
Yeah, Mark Maron.
Yeah, they got the wool pulled over their eyes. Yeah. and they all go around going, bah, bah, bah. And the wolves are, they ran the damn farmer off the farm, and the wolves are running the damn sheep farm, and they're saying, okay, you're next, get in here, we're going to chow down on you tonight. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. This is why I look at the absurdity of you know, say what I was saying about the natural gas down here and what you're saying about the oil in North Dakota. Why is it that we're, you know, sending something off, a resource that we could be using locally, selling it to someone else so we can buy that same resource from someone else from somewhere else?
Slope oil goes, you know, that, you know, they put that great big huge pipeline up there. It goes into the Valdez, you know, the Alaska Valdez. You know where that oil goes? From Alaska. I mean, from Alaska, U.S. of A., right? Does anybody know where it goes? It doesn't go to California.
No.
It goes to Japan and China.
Right.
Absolutely. It does not come to the United States. It's American oil, but it's going overseas. They ship it overseas, and they say, well, hey, we got to have this great big oil line. And we, the people of the United States, built the damn pipe for them. Back in the, we had that thing going back in the 80s. They had to have this pipeline, this huge pipeline, out of Alaska, and it was going to come down to the Gulf of Valdez, and they were going to ship it overseas. They were going to ship it down the coast into California. They never did. They shipped it over to Japan and to China. Guess why?
Because they could make more money.
Right. It's all money. It has nothing to do with taking care of your own. It has nothing to do with caring about the country that you're stealing it from. They can steal it from the United States, ship it to Canada, ship it back in the United States, and sell it to the United States. You see what I'm saying?
They are
thieves.
Well, Bob, on a similar thing, as I was, you know, slowly waking up this morning before I rocketed out of bed,
mm-hmm.
I think I was hearing a CNN news break on the radio, and they were talking about the causes in the oil, the causes in petrol prices spiking at the moment were, you know, the uncertainty in the Middle East, all this other stuff, and they also said, and also because of Chavez wanting to nationalize his oil fields. Now, what a load of crap.
Yeah.
What an absolute load of crap. How can they be putting, you know, I mean, the guy's offered to sell cheap heating oil to the poor. I mean, here's a guy who's offered to put a cap on the price, and they're saying that he is a threat to the, and he's causing the oil prices to go up? Sorry.
Okay. How many people shop at the, what do you call it?
Is it Citgo?
British Petroleum. What do you call it? They got these doggone, they bought off Standard Oil and all that stuff. What was that?
Right. Well, is that BP? Because they're still called BP here.
I got a credit card from those BP people. You know? No,
yes.
Hey, they. First it was British Petroleum, just a gas card, right? Then they switched to a British Petroleum Visa card, right? And then
right.
It was like, I started out with, you know, this is years ago. I started out with like $2,000 worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what BP British Petroleum Visa card, I could go out and splurge today on it.
Yeah, but you'd pay.
I'm talking from just a personal point of view. I mean, I could go out and just kind of just blow that card out, just run it up to the max, right?
Yeah, I mean that's
$2,000. No. I think it was $400. Yeah, $400, and then it was $600 and $800. Today, I could go out and I could splurge. I could just take that card and go, I mean, just go crazy at Walmart and get everything they got in there that's made in China and put it in my house, right? I could be real stupid. But it started out at $4, then it was $6, then to $8. Now it's $30,000 on
insane.
That card.
That's insane. And I mean, if you actually look into the credit card industry, you know, it's all part of the inflated money economy, which just ends up making the little guy pay more for his money than anybody else.
Don, It's the same game. It doesn't matter whether it's oil or money. Funny money. Funny money. Fake money. Kind of, you know, it's phony money. If anybody really looked at the Federal Reserve, they'd realize that, you know, hey, when you take your $20 bill out and, you know, fill your tank, no, you can't do that. You need an $80 bill today to fill your tank.
Man, I couldn't imagine being, you know, I grew up in the New York tri-state area in Jersey. I could not imagine what it would be like to be a daily commuter into Manhattan as a contractor or something right now, man. You'd be, you know, just that Trump from, you know, Route 17 and 4 over the bridge. I could not even imagine what that would be doing to somebody's pocketbook for a week at the moment.
It is insane, but see, the insanity rests in every recipient of the insanity, John. If you perceive the insanity for what it is, then you can see that this is just a game.
It is, and in quantum physics,
it's played by chess players sitting up there and wherever, or that secret little government. I don't know what it is, but it's people that just play with your mind. And
absolutely,
if you don't
man.
Allow them to play with it, then you can play with theirs. See? If you don't allow them to play with your mind, you can actually play with theirs.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what. There's so many minds being played with. You just don't know what to do. But right now I have to play with the clock, which is our time. We're going to be coming up on our news break, matey. And
we got to get Bob back up on the net, don't we?
I know. We're gonna see what we can do about that. But in the meantime, I'm gonna carry the torch.
I helped you.
Oh, you did. Always good to hear from you, Bob. And I had Andy
and Andrew and John Fox on the same doggone night. Hey, I couldn't have had it better.
Right on, man. Bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. This is John Fox holding the torch on Head On Radio for Bob Kincaid as we try to get him reconnected. I don't know if he's hit weather or something or whatever. But anyway, we're chatting at the Head On Radio Network chat room. So go to headonradionetwork.com, streaming on the White Rose in a couple minutes to news. This is John Fox. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The United Steelworkers Union is condemning the use of hundreds of Mexican police in an attack on striking workers at a major steel plant that killed four union workers. USW spokesman Jim McKay.
Leo Girard, the president of the union, has called the Fox administration's actions murderous and one of the most heinous in all of Latin America.
The strikers joined thousands of other workers who went on strike across Mexico in support of Napoleon Gomez, a labor leader removed from office by the Mexican government. Gomez was ousted after questioning how the government handled the mining disaster that killed 65 workers. He had called for an investigation into the disaster. The steel workers are working in unison with the Mexican Union.
The Mexican Union, of which we are a partner, has defended the strike as legitimate and has called for an investigation.
Mexican police killed the workers at the Zacarza steelmaking complex in western Mexico. The first post-Katrina election in New Orleans results in a runoff election in May to elect a city government.
Incumbent Mayor Ray Nagin finished first yesterday with a comfortable 9-point lead on Mitch Landrieu, but far short of the 50% needed to win the race outright. Nagin reacted to his success with humor.
I stand here before you, a humble man, someone who never thought that I would have this kind of support after some of the crazy things I've said.
Criminal Sheriff Marlon Guzman won re-election easily, despite a scandal over his failure to evacuate New Orleans Parish Prison during last fall's flooding. The composition of New Orleans City Hall remains unknown, with 4 seats out of 7 to be decided in the May 20th runoff. Roughly 150 poll monitors were mobilized yesterday by nonpartisan groups, including the NAACP, Throughout the coming week, elections officials will continue to count some of the 16,000 absentee ballots that were mailed out, but they are unlikely to change the outcome of most races. For Workers Independent News, Christian Roseland, New Orleans.
When it rains, all my friends go away.
God doesn't like me anymore.
The wind could come, take your house.
Santa won't know where to find me.
Mommy scared the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane?
You can drown in your bed if you fall asleep.
A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647 to make sure they move on healthy and happy. That's 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you 24 hours a day. It's confidential and free. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The International Longshore and Warehouse Union says a new federal security ID program that may be unveiled as soon as this week could cost thousands of port workers their jobs and disrupt the flow of goods into the U.S. The Transportation Workers Identification Credential Program might bar undocumented workers and convicted felons. Details of the program, though, are still being ironed out.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. Is General Motors shrinking or growing? Daewoo, the GM South Korean affiliate, has rehired 1,700 workers it laid off in 2001 and will serve as a base for GM to expand in South Asian markets. The South Korean firm will develop the basic components that GM will use to produce many small vehicles around the world. In 2005, GM sold more cars abroad than it did in North America. While GM workers in the U.S. see their numbers shrink, the automaker is growing its workforce elsewhere.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Anne Braden.
You know, I got interested in Anne's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Oh, gee whiz. Okay, so Monday used to be my favorite night. Thank you, Agnes. Love you, darling. I assume... I assume we're back.
We're back, dear.
I hear you.
And I hear you. Welcome back. Thank you. I'm.
Thank you, darling.
I'm playing with my buttons.
Okay. Oh, don't do that to me. Are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay, wonderful. Are we solid? Got a connection?
We're solid. Everything's good. And you're on.
I know I'm on.
Okay, and I also have the Mike Malloy clips from CNN for you, too.
Okay, well, at some point maybe we'll get to them. Thank you, dear. I have no idea what happened there. But now that, you know, I feel like, Mr. Douglas from Green Acres. I had to climb the pole out back. Nah, I didn't really. No, but it does remind me, there's a line of... There's a line from an old post-World War II comedy. Marlon Brando played the lead role in the film version of Tea House of the August Moon. And there's a character in the play called Captain Fisbee. It all takes place on post-war Okinawa. And at one point, Captain Fisbee is trying to explain to his commanding officer why he stays as far away from machinery as possible. And he says, "I don't believe... machines are inanimate objects at all. They're full of malice and ill will. And I think I identified with that. And, of course, this would not be possible without the good offices of our permanent on-call, God bless him, technician Peter Godbold, who has a real talent for saying things like, "Bob, breathe. Breathe, Bob, breathe." As well, and of course, the whole thing started with a communication to our headquarters there, our streaming headquarters in Elgin, Illinois, and our good friend and ally, Ben Birch, who said, "I'll tell Peter to clear the line." And I honestly don't know what happened here. It could have been. We're going through Comcast, the cable company down here, and I don't know. It could have been a glitch on their end. But you know, I tend to believe it was me. So you know, I'm just a because I'm superstitious, and I'm like Captain Fisbee, and I believe that where I'm concerned, computers are all full of malice and will. And many thanks to John Fox for keeping the seat warm for a minute, too. So can we do a show now? I hesitate to scream and carry on and raise a ruckus and so forth, but... I'm trying to back up to where I was when everything went to hell. And where I was when things went to hell was, oh yeah, CNN, William Bennett. It was, I don't know, when things grow and we've got lots and lots of employees, one of those employees is going to do nothing but sit there and watch this right-wing crap spew out of things like CNN. Now, Mary O. McCarthy. Mary O. McCarthy is being treated on the cable news outlets, at least, like the second coming of what? The Rosenbergs? Oh, she gave away vital info. Oh, you know, William Bennett. And every time I think of William Bennett, I remember that account of how he likes to gamble in Vegas, sitting there in his own little private room with his own little private slot machines. I mean, the dude's not even human enough to get around a craps table or sit in on a hand of poker. He sits there with his own little private slot machines. He ran up a multi-million dollar debt that he had to wire money into or else they were going to get his kneecaps or something. But he sits, literally, this was the account, William Bennett sits there in his boxer shorts. Gambling. Probably eating Cheetos. And then writes books like The Book of Virtues. Criticizing, poor people who go to work every day for drinking a six-pack of beer. Or gambling. Or playing the lottery. Or not going to church as often as he might like them to. So William Bennett is on there with Wolf Blitzer. And William Bennett is seated next to Howie Kurt. And you know they actually call him Howie on the air? I'm thinking by the time I'm Howie's age, I'm going to insist that you call me Howard. Or something. But no, it's Howie. And he knows all about journalism ethics. But the discussion was that of Mary McCarthy, the lady who leaked information about, among other things, secret prisons to Dana Priest at the Washington Post. And William Bennett is sitting there saying that, this is time of war, and we're in time of war, and therefore we must certainly punish her. He makes me sick. Mary McCarthy may well turn out to be the woman who tried to save this nation from the likes of George Bush and the William Bennetts of the world. But William Bennett, the next question, and it's all, it's CNN, for God's sakes. It's all ever so breathless. And the next question is, Mr. Bennett, it's been discovered, and, that preacherly, teacherly sort of wouldn't want to leave him alone with little children voice that Wolf Blitzer gets going for him. It's been determined that Mary McCarthy gave money to the John Kerry campaign. Should something be done about that? Oh, my God. And at some point, I think it was David Ensor at the Pentagon said, or at the CIA, God knows where David Ensor was. Well, Wolf. There are Democrats and Republicans alike working for the CIA. That's my forehead hitting the microphone. I don't get it. These people are beginning to make me physically suffer. They really, really are. What the hell is the point of bringing up the fact that she gave money to John Kerry? Does that have something to do at all with whether or not she's a good American? That's the motive?
Are you there, dear? Okay. We're experiencing a little bit more technical difficulty, but we'll have Bob back with you in just a second. We're going to take a break. This is Head On.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Breaking my heart, you're leaving. Maybe I'm grieving. But if you want to leave, take good care. Hope you have a lot of nice things to wear. But then a lot of nice things turn bad out there. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. It's hard to get by just upon a smile.
Welcome back. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid, and Bob should be back with us very shortly. But until then, we do have a phone call. It's Clyde from WD-40. Hey, Clyde.
Hey, sweetheart. How you doing?
Doing just fine. How are you?
Oh, well, I wish I could get on the Internet. We got big storms around here, and I can't log on. I want to go to the chat room.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes, you know, nature doesn't want us to do the things we don't want to do.
I know that feeling very well. So
but I hear you have a little problem with keeping the connection with Bob, and I thought I'd kind of jump in and give you a little bit of help if you need it.
Well, you know, I am so happy you did, and I'm glad you called because I noticed that you've been posting all of our shows on the very front page of WD40.com.
Well, you guys are doing great things, and believe it or not, I think you guys are on the cutting edge of what's going to happen in radio in the future. You know, I think AM is pretty much gone. I think FM is devoted to music. The Internet is devoted they'll be devoted to talk.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, you guys are great because I go to your site and I find information that's just out of this world. And I know all of you work. Hi, John. Jump right in.
Hello, John.
It feels like relay radio today. Clyde, I got to tell you a story about your website.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you know that I've had extreme difficulty seeing your site over here for some reason. You know,
right.
We've discussed this in the chat room.
And, okay, John, I'm just barely hearing you, but
okay.
If you could talk up just a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
Is that a bit better?
Oh, that's much better.
Okay, so, you know, I was having trouble, and we made jokes about the NSA, this, that, and the other thing, and over the weekend, we had some trouble with the Horns webpage, and it came down to a dodgy name server, which our hosts found and replaced. And so I'm thinking, okay, name server. So for, again, the umpteenth time in months, I plug in your web address, and for the first time, your site came up.
Oh, well, that's sweet. Hopefully, you enjoyed your visit.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'm wondering if somehow, some way, with how there's only about 6 or 7 major pipes, we had the same name server involved some way, somehow, all this time. So
well,
I finally was able to get to your guys' site and catch up on what I've been missing out on.
Well, John, I have to admit to you that I when it comes to that stuff, I'm pretty much illiterate. Dookie and Wally, they're the web guys. I'm just kind of like the color commentator. I'm like, the guy on football that tells you that, hey, to play great football, you got to play great football,
You're the John Madden of WD-40, is that it?
It's basically, I'm pretty much an idiot, and I just got real.
No, you're not.
But,
no way.
No, John, I'm really glad to talk to you. I've talked to you in the chat room, and, the people in the chat room are really great, and anything we can do to help you guys, we're more than willing to do.
Man, you do plenty already, and now that I finally got to see your site, I finally got a link to you there on the Horn, so you should be seeing some stuff coming from us. But and what's the big story of the day over there at WD-40?
Well, the big story at the website today was actual Bush's disapproval rating.
32%?
But we've got a graph. If you go to the website, it's damn near straight up and down. mean, the guy is really, he's tanking bad. I mean, and see, I'm the guy that I get to go over to the Free Republic. I get to troll over there because being a NASCAR kind of guy, I can talk the lingo. And
yep.
I tell you what, you go over there and you click on any story right now, 1 out of 3 is going to be bad. I mean,
really?
A hammer Bush. And if that had been a year ago, it never would have been that way.
So the base isn't happy either. We're finally seeing signs.
The base isn't happy about, the immigration and stuff like that. They're not going to hammer him on Iraq and Iran, because they all like to bomb everybody and they think everything's cool. Of course, they're never the ones that have to fight. They're the ones sitting back thinking, oh, yeah, that's great, let Rummy do what he wants to do, But basically what's happening is the gas prices are hitting the people really hard, and they don't like the way Bush is handling the immigration. And believe it or not, I'm going to have to give this to Bush on immigration. That's a tough one to handle.
Well, it's all, but they brought it up as a divisive issue. But Clyde, I'm going to have to wrap this up because we're coming up on our half hour break, and I believe we have Bob back on the line. So we're gonna head to a break. And thank you so much for ringing in, man. I'm glad I can finally see WD-40, and everybody's got to go to WD-40.com if you've never been there. So,
well, anything I can do to help you guys, let us know.
Right on, man. We will be doing stuff in the future. You know it. Thanks for ringing in, Clyde.
All right, love you, bro.
Right on, man. Take care of yourself. All right, folks. I do believe we're coming up on a little break here as we're going to pass the baton back to Bob Kincaid in Alabama. You're listening to Head On Radio on the Head On Radio Network. My name's John Fox, just keeping the seat warm temporarily as we make the connections happen. Coming to you from Sydney, Australia. Thanks for letting me sit in and keep things warm for a bit. And I think I'm hearing some music. Not sure if I'm hearing some music, but anyway. Bob Kincaid, there, I'm hearing music. Bob Kincaid will be back with us again. He's going to be blowing a blood vessel, I reckon, with all this going on. So stand by. This has been John Fox. We'll see you later.
Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. As much as I complain about some aspects of the internet, in particular the cliquish nature of the larger so-called community blogs, the straight truth is that it's the most powerful tool people have ever had to communicate with each other. In years past, the only way to send a message to large amounts of people would be to either own a printing press or a radio or television transmitter. The former also required a means of distribution, the latter a license to operate. Either way, it was an expensive proposition. Today, a solid computer can be had for less than $500. Expensive, yes, but nowhere near as pricey or as complicated as the others. So far, the net's proven its worth as a means of communicating, organizing, and fundraising. But all that could change. Up until now, internet service providers haven't been able to block content they don't like. But ISPs like AT&T, which, by the way, just bought out Bell South, which, by the way, is the ISP used by yours truly, want to begin censoring the content that goes through its pipes. In short, it's an attempt by corporate America to control something they currently have no control over. And if they have their way, they might be able to stop you from reading my blog or listening to these reports or any of the shows on the Head On Network. The threat is real, and we can't sit back and let it happen. Because unlike newspapers or radio or TV, the internet is completely interactive, the first truly populist technological breakthrough in history. Let's see to it that it's not the last. Now let's get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show via streaming audio every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, are we back?
We're back, dear.
Thank you, dear. Music just sort of went off into nowhere on me. And that's one of those tech things. I'm I'm at a bit of a loss. I must admit, I have been, I feel like I've been just manhandled by technology this evening. And I don't know why. Maybe it's what Joe was talking about. Maybe Comcast heard a little bit of this and decided, hey, we don't like it. Yeah. I don't know. That's probably a little too paranoid for thing, for even me. But, you know, Conflab Nast, that ebb, messing around with my internets. It's highly frustrating. Well, do me a favor. I have never, ever, ever, never begged for calls. Just, you know, if you want to get in on the conversation kind of stuff. But if you do want to help out tonight, you know what? I'd appreciate it. Number's 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on. And, well, I'm sure you've had some level of frustration similar to this in your life. If you want to join in, join in. I encourage you. I would appreciate it. So, yeah. There you have it. I'll be honest. I don't trust this.
Well, Bob, we do have a call on line one. Clyde wants to talk to you, dear.
Oh, is Clyde there?
Yeah.
That would be lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Hey, Clyde, you there?
Hey, Bob, how you doing, bro?
I'm kind of at my wit's end.
Yeah, I kind of figured things were going wrong for you guys. I got things going wrong here. I can't even get on the internet.
Oh, really? That's awful.
Yeah, I just called because I got no lights, no TV, no nothing, and I needed to talk to somebody, so I thought I'd call Agnes.
Well, that's, one of these days I think we're going to finish her education and get her that PhD she has so long deserved in human relations.
Well, she does a fine job as long as you're on the good side.
Oh, yeah, the bad side is nowhere to be, Clyde.
Oh, no. I've seen the bad side, and I definitely want to be on the good side.
Exactly. I mean, when that grudge closet swings open, I can tell you it's all over. Of course, I joke. I'm down here. She's back at home in the hills, and I'm kind of sad and homesick because not only was her birthday the other night, and I missed it, our 13th wedding anniversary is coming up here in about a week or so.
Oh, my God. I didn't know it was her birthday. If I'd known, did you get my email today?
Yes, I did. And as a matter of fact, if everything had been working out, Clyde, I was planning on reading it on air and discussing it a little bit. I don't think you and I are in a state of disagreement.
Oh, really? The way I heard your Friday night show, kind of thought that you and I were on opposite sides of the fence there.
No, I Clyde, I recognize that there are a jillion things to be done. It could, there's a possibility if George hasn't started his war with Iran by the time that the elections come around, that the simple fact of a Democratic majority in Congress would be enough to stop him from trying to really get World War III cranked up to a fever pitch.
Well, the thing is, I'm a firm believer that he's going to bomb them in September. That's my prediction. He's going to bomb them in September and try and run the Iraq war type of wave like he did back in 2002. But I don't think it's going to fly this time.
Well, I hope it. I pray, whatever it is, that it doesn't. Because this is going to make things really unpleasant all the way around the world, because as I've said before, we don't know what kind of agreements Iran has with other nations. I read an article just today, Clyde, that said Pakistan, where Pervez Musharraf hangs on by a fingernail to his dictatorial power. Pakistan is getting really, really antsy about our position in terms of Iran.
Well,
because if we go ahead.
Well, the thing of it is what's really going to crash us as Americans is the gas prices, you know, and I work in the industry of oil. And the one thing I've noticed is that normally at this time of the year, my type of business really is booming because they're making the transition from winter gasoline to summer blends and all right. this. And I'm not seeing it. Normally, it's not the oil companies that run the price of gas, it's the refineries. And nobody's talking about these refineries like Frontier Oil. Who 2 years ago, their stock was trading at $13 a share, and now it's up over $50, $60, depending on what time of day you happen to check the market. These guys are the ones that are really raping us, although, you know, you got ExxonMobil and all them there, really, they're making mega profits, but mainstream media is concentrating on them because they're huge conglomerates. They're not looking at the refineries. They're much smaller companies, but they're making three times what the oil companies are.
Well, you bring up a very good point, Clyde, because the fact of the matter is, and I heard it referenced briefly, ever so briefly, a couple of days ago, is the switch over from MTBE additive to ethanol that was mandated by the energy bill that was passed last summer, August 2005.
Right.
And that, they're blaming that on the shortages. They're blaming that on the increase in prices. But, I mean, can you really just gloss over all the saber rattling?
No. Well, the biggest problem is there is no shortage of oil. And there is no shortage of gasoline. That's, you know, anybody that's in the business will tell you that we have got gas sitting in tanks all over the country. But the refineries are not letting it loose.
So I need to make sure I understand correctly, Clyde. The refineries, you're saying the refineries are independently controlled outside the overall control of the Exxon Mobils and the Royal Dutch Shells and the BPs and so forth?
Well, you're talking about global economics here. The refineries are not necessarily part of the oil company structure like Exxon Mobil and Frontier Oil. The refineries are an offshoot of the company. So basically when it comes down to tax time is what happens is the oil companies do not claim the refineries as a business, entity, as you might say. But when it comes down to giving to the shareholders, it does. It's a lot like taking your taxes and moving them offshore. Yeah, you're an American company, but you're not paying American taxes. You kind of get my drift.
I do.
It's all a bit.
Well, they're in control, but they're off the books.
Right. You know, they're a subsidiary. And when it comes down to tax time, that subsidiary does not count against them. But when it comes down to stock time, it does count for them. It's really a screwed up mess. The oil industry as a whole has become so micromanaged.
It's
they're all, how do you want to say it? You know, they're all in together, but they're not together. If you get what I'm saying.
I do.
You know, it's all big, it's a shell game. You know, look at the pea under this pod, but don't look at the pea under that pod.
Yeah, right.
And I've been working in the oil industry for a little over 15 years. I used to roughneck. Now I work for a company that we build level and flow controls for oil and petrochemical. And I tell you what, it used to come. Our business would just peak in March through July, August. And those were where we were working 12-hour days, 60 hours a week minimum.
Right.
And this year, we're not doing it. And the only reason that can be happening is the refineries are breaking off away from doing their, they're taking their time away from doing their switch over from winter blend to summer blend. And they're just reaping the profits as it goes along. Believe me, ExxonMobil, you know, the profits they're making are insane, you know. But I can't put it just on the oil companies.
Well, I don't think it belongs entirely on the oil companies either, Clyde. I mean, hell, if you want to expand it a little bit, the oil companies do what the oil companies are allowed to do, and they bought themselves a president and a vice president and a secretary of state and a secretary of defense, and they damned well expect them to put forward policy and give them value added dollars for their purchase.
Oh, absolutely. There's never been a more oil-friendly regime in America before this. I mean, the last time you ever saw anything that was even near what was going on now is if you look back to the Johnson administration and the defense contractors. The defense contractors back during Vietnam were making insane profits.
Well, it was frankly LBJ who was tight with the ownership of a little fledgling company way, way back when called Kellogg Brown and Root.
Yep,
and he got them contracts building bridges and dams and things like that around Texas. And once he got into the Vietnam War, they said, "Hey, LBJ, buddy, how about we build you some tiger cages?"
Well, believe it or not, Bob, I used to work for Kellogg Brown and Root.
Well, if you've been in the oil patch, that's not surprising.
I mean, you know, I used to do roughnecking, and believe it or not, you know, them guys, they've got the world by the short hair, plain and simple.
Oh, yeah.
And there's really not a lot that we can do about it right now, because even if we tried to go after them, all that does is hurt us. You know, I mean, they have cornered the market. You know, Kellogg Brown Root, Halliburton, Chevron Oil, all these guys, they have gotten the whole world cornered. Just like Lamar Hunt, his brother, can't think of his name, he tried to do with the silver market back in the 70s.
Oh, the Hunt brothers.
Yeah.
Lamar Hunt.
They didn't get it done. Well, the oil companies have got it done, and they got it done big time. And trying to root them out, you know, independent ain't got a chance.
Oh, no. Well, the same thing applies to, for instance, independent pharmacists, Clyde.
Right.
There was recently an independent pharmacists protest where a bunch of independent pharmacists sent a penny to the White House, or were going to, or something like that, because they said that was what the Medicare prescription drug plan had reduced their business worth to, because it was so clearly written for the benefit of the big drug companies and the big drug retailers like Rite Aid and CVS and Walgreens and that crowd.
Well, you look at my part of the country, the Midwest, you know, the bread belt, you know, the corn belt, the whole ball of wax, you know, corporate farming has taken over. You know, I've got uncles that they've had family farms through the generations, And now they have to compete with people like Farmland and Swift and Iowa Beef Processors and all these guys, and they can't compete. They don't have the money to do it. And basically, we're going to a corporate structure, and, you know, it's like loosely you said, we're going to fascism. We're going to government, corporate-run countries.
Well, I think that's exactly where they are, where we are. This book that I'm reading right now, The Omnivore's Dilemma, lays out in very cold and calculated facts how the giant agribusinesses control a lot of administration policy. And part and parcel of that, you know, this takes us full circle to what we were talking about to begin with, the changeover of this deadly poisonous cancer-causing additive, MTBE, to ethanol. Well, MTBE had to go, but there's a reason that ethanol was chosen as the substitute.
Well, and that has to,
that's Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland and Monsanto and that crowd.
Well, you know, believe me, MTBE being gone, I do nothing but stand up and applaud that, because that was some really, that was bad stuff. And, you know, as far as it being gone, I really, you know, as someone who actually cares about the environment, I'm glad it's gone. But on the other hand, it did do a good service. You know, it kept down emissions and stuff of that nature. So basically what you got to look at, you know, what's good for the world or what's good for business. And basically right now, MTBE is, it isn't good for either.
No,
you know,
no, not at all.
I mean, for the benefits that we get from the emissions and all this, we're getting cancer clusters and all this other stuff. And it just, you know, it was one of them bills that I think that they threw in that, oh, well, we're going to do a quick fix.
Well, I don't think there's – no, I don't think there can be a quick fix, Clyde.
Well, at the time that they put it in, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, okay, sure.
At the
time it was one of the, it was one of those act in haste, repent in leisure kind of things. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, pretty much. They didn't really look at what could be the effect of the cause that they were bringing about. And too bad that thousands of people ended up having this stuff in their bloodstream and they didn't even know it.
No. And the thing is, that stuff is so pervasive with the water supply, it gets into the groundwater like that.
Oh, yeah.
You can't clean it up.
No, you can't.
A lot
of people don't know this, but you take one teaspoon of diesel fuel and you throw it into a 15-acre lake, you have done total damage on that 15-acre lake. A lot of people don't know that. That's how little it takes for some of these chemicals that these companies are building. You know, that,
right.
You know, and it affects you, me, your children, your livestock. You know, the corn you eat, the wheat you eat, you know, whatever. If they're taking groundwater out of something that's been contaminated by one teaspoon of some toxic chemical, that's going to be in their body. And believe it or not, you're going to pass it on. It doesn't go away. And these people in Washington, they look at who's giving me the money to run next year. And that's all they think about. They think about the quick fix. They don't think about the long-term effect.
Not at all.
You
know, that's where campaign finance reform comes in, of course. That's where
good luck trying to get that through.
We have to have this laundry list of stuff to do. I mean, I think you agree with that, don't you?
Oh yeah, you have a laundry list, but Bob, you know, I mean, I love you, bro, but you know, there are only certain things that you're going to be able to get done. And as long as money is involved in politics, you're never going to get away from lobbyists. You know, the lobbyists come from when Ulysses S. Grant used to come out from the bar. They used to wait for him out in the lobby. And that's where the term comes from. And it's been going on ever since. And, you know, when you got to have multi-million dollars campaigns just to get into office, you're not going to get away from it. And as long as the people that are getting these big corporate checks and all this, as long as they're getting it so they can keep their job, they're not going to change the legislation. You know, and they're not going to go to a public financing. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. You know, I hate to be down on it, but, you know, that's the world we live in, and I really don't see us ever getting out of it. Hello?
Bob, are you still with us?
I'm...
Okay, well, I guess maybe he's not. But
I'm still here. I didn't mean to make him that mad.
Oh, no. No. I don't think you would ever make Bob mad. We adore you. We adore all you guys.
Yeah.
And... I think he's just having a little technical trouble, and of course, that's kind of par for the course for us this evening.
Well, I can understand that we got major storms going around here, so.
Well, I think there's a storm front moving through right around the area that he is, too, and of course, tornadoes abound. I know they abound where you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just got my lights back, but
are you serious?
My computer works.
Oh, bless your heart.
But
well, I hope that everything goes okay. I'm going to try to reconnect here and hit our hour break.
Okay. Need me to get off, babe? Find somebody else to talk to?
No, I could talk to you all night.
Well, I know you could, but you're probably busy, so I'm going to let you go, and I'll catch you on the downstream tomorrow, babe.
Okay, sweetie. We love you.
All right. Love you, too.
Bye, Claude.
Bye. Hey, Agnes.
Hey, John.
How are you?
I'm just...
You holding on all right?
I'm just skippy this evening.
I reckon so. Well... So there's bad weather in Alabama, is there?
I think that there was bad weather heading that way. So it could be that.
Right. That would explain a few things.
But I'm so happy to be talking to you again.
Well, I'll tell you what. What would really, really help out here a lot would be to get those phone lines lit up.
They are lit up.
Oh, right on. Well, who do we have waiting? Who's been waiting on the longest?
We have CB, but what we're going to do is we're going to take the top of the hour break real quick. And,
go.
And I'll give you a line and get you all set up.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, John.
We'll see you on the other side. You're listening to Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid while Bob tries to reconnect. I guess the storms are rolling in. This is John Fox from 4th Estate Radio jumping in the hot seat as long as I can, and we'll see you on the other side of the news.
To the babies in a brand new world. Here's to the beauty. You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The United Steelworkers Union is condemning the use of hundreds of Mexican police in an attack on striking workers at a major steel plant that killed four union workers. USW spokesman Jim McKay.
Leo Girard, the president of the union, has called the Fox administration's actions murderous and one of the most heinous in all of Latin America.
The strikers joined thousands of other workers who went on strike across Mexico in support of Napoleon Gomez, a labor leader removed from office by the Mexican government. Gomez was ousted after questioning how the government handled a mining disaster that killed 65 workers. He had called for an investigation into the disaster. The steel workers are working in unison with the Mexican Union.
The Mexican Union, of which we are a partner, has defended the strike as legitimate and has called for an investigation.
Mexican police killed the workers at the Zacarza steelmaking complex in western Mexico. The first post-Katrina election in New Orleans results in a runoff election in May to elect a city government.
Incumbent Mayor Ray Nagin finished first yesterday with a comfortable 9-point lead on Mitch Landrieu, but far short of the 50% needed to win the race outright. Nagin reacted to his success with humor.
I stand here before you, a humble man, someone who never thought that I would have this kind of support after some of the crazy things I've said.
Criminal Sheriff Marlon Guzman won re-election easily, despite a scandal over his failure to evacuate New Orleans Parish Prison during last fall's flooding. The composition of New Orleans City Hall remains unknown, with 4 seats out of 7 to be decided in the May 20th runoff. Roughly 150 poll monitors were mobilized yesterday by nonpartisan groups, including the NAACP. Throughout the coming week, elections officials will continue to count some of the 16,000 absentee ballots that were mailed out, but they are unlikely to change the outcome of most races. For Workers Independent News, Christian Roseland, New Orleans.
When it rains, all my friends go away.
God doesn't like me anymore.
The wind could come and take your house.
Santa won't know where to find me.
Mommy scared the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane?
You can drown in your bed if you fall asleep.
A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647 to make sure they move on healthy and happy. That's 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you 24 hours a day. It's confidential and free. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The International Longshore and Warehouse Union says a new federal security ID program that may be unveiled as soon as this week could cost thousands of port workers their jobs and disrupt the flow of goods into the U.S. The Transportation Workers Identification Credential Program might bar undocumented workers and convicted felons. Details of the program, though, are still being ironed out.
Here's the WIN Economic Report. Is General Motors shrinking or growing? Daewoo, the GM South Korean affiliate, has rehired 1,700 workers it laid off in 2001 and will serve as a base for GM to expand in South Asian markets. The South Korean firm will develop the basic components that GM will use to produce many small vehicles around the world. In 2005, GM sold more cars abroad than it did in North America. While GM workers in the U.S. see their numbers shrink, the automaker is growing its workforce elsewhere.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, it's not actually Bob. It's John Fox from Fourth Estate Radio, keeping the seat warm while the weather knocked out Bob's connection. The beauty of Mother Nature and the Internet. Welcome to Head On Radio, folks. John Fox and Sydney here, and quick little bit of housekeeping, I guess. You know, we're chatting in the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room, streaming on the White Rose Society as usual. And we're going to get back to the phones as soon as we can. So I'm still hearing music rocking and rolling. Anyway, So, folks, anyway, I believe we're back on. This has been a very, very unusual night here on Head On Radio. I do believe, Agnes, we have CB on line 2. Is that correct?
Hey, John.
CB, how are you? This is what a crazy night. Well, morning for me.
What a crazy night and morning for you. I'm falling apart at the seams, but I was listening to Bob falling apart at the seams, so I thought I'd call him up and read him some Dao De Jing, you know, and mellow him out. And poor guy's off bursting a blood vessel without us, I think.
Oh, I mean, you know, he doesn't do weekends well to begin with, and
exactly.
You know, to lose his Monday show, it's just got to be a bit too much for the man. But anyway, you feel like it sounds like you're blowing another corpuscle. What's got you going today?
Oh well, I was doing just fine. I was concentrating on the fact that 60 Minutes, you know, busted Bozo on his lies to get us into Iraq, and so I've been feeling optimistic all day that the United States is just going to turn and boot him out of the White House and all of his buddies. So, but then I called up to help Bob, and I listened to Clyde, and I got all depressed. So yeah, I don't know which ends up either now. I was going to do a little Zen lesson for him, but now.
Well, if you want to hold on to it in case he comes back, or you know, it has to be somewhat heartening to see things like Fox and CNN coming out with numbers like 32% and 33% approvals. You know, for Fox to even admit such a thing shows that probably it's not looking good for him, and they're obviously running scared. All this, you know, shake up of just moving people in and out of White House positions and all this other stuff. It's all just, you know, trying to create some smokescreen for the fact that they're crumbling.
Well, I think the bottom line has to be with everybody, using first strike nukes is just completely unacceptable. Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough as in last strike, let alone, you know, attack somebody with them.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of waiting for when the international community is going to get together to realize that we have a tyrant running the United States, and they need to come in and help us get him out.
Well, how would they do that?
I don't know. I think when you have the largest arsenal on the planet, it makes it difficult for the rest of the world to really stand up against you, or at least they've made us believe such a thing.
Well, I feel like there are enough people coming out of the woodwork now, and you know, even though the administration's frantically trying to get these people prosecuted for leaking, you know, like they're doing something wrong. When they're not, they're the ones doing something right. They're trying to save us from these maniacs. And I think there's just going to be more and more of them. Don't you think there's got to be people working behind the scenes to topple this regime?
Well, I would hope so. And there have been comments from people, you know, like I think things like Scott McClellan has said about, you know, people in the administration have taken an oath to this president. And I'm wondering if those things being repeated over and over are starting to ring with some of the American people going, wait a minute. They took an oath to protect the Constitution.
Right.
And maybe, just maybe, some of these people that weren't really paying attention to what was going on are listening to the semantics, which is one of the things I love to go back to Robert Fisk talking about, the semantics of reporting and whatnot. Is looking back at the semantics that they've been being spoon-fed for so many years, that, you know, these people are not looking out for the interests of you, me, anybody, but their corporate donors.
Absolutely. I just got finished moving to some place I felt like I could afford to live again. You know, I sort of got priced out of my old, out of home. I got priced out of home. I've lived in this new town for... since October, and I was right. I could afford it. Guess what? I'm right on the edge of not being able to afford it now.
So when petrol goes up again another 10 cents,
I'm going to lose a lot of weight. And I'm not really fat. I'm not skinny either, but I'm going to be.
CB. Well, you know, Gail and I have talked about this. You know, how many callers to, you know, this program, Bruce's show, Fourth Estate, you know, there's so many people that we know that are full-time working, many of them, or, in you know, there are so many people out there that seem to be, you know, the average American that have no hope in making ends meet in the current climate. I mean, it seems to be almost, you know, just impossible.
Well, that's where this whole fascistic corporate juggernaut thing ceases to make sense. Because, you know, if they impoverish everybody out there, there isn't anybody to buy their stuff. What are they going to do with all that money they made then? You know,
Henry Ford wasn't my favorite guy in the world, but he did understand that you had to pay people enough so that they could buy the very things that they were making.
Right.
You know, and if just the simple fact, I have to tell you something, you know, the parallels that happen, you know, here that happen over there, you know. We were in one of the three major grocery chains in Australia, which none of them are owned by Australians. And right at the checkout counter were Aussie supporter bands, you know, like little red, green and yellow, you know, Aussie sports bands, right?
Yeah.
Pick it up, flip it over, made in China. And I actually held it up at the register. You know, it was a full place. I'm sitting there going, there you go, folks. You want to know where your jobs are? Here's your Aussie supporter band, made in China, sold by an English and South African-owned grocery store chain.
Right.
You want to know where your jobs are going? And the girl behind the counter just gave me this huge grin as she handed me my change and said, thank you very much, and I walked out the door.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, I mean, we've just had the Commonwealth Games here, which is like, you know, the mini Olympics, and you guys don't know anything about it because, well, you're not involved. And so, you know, it's, you know, you go out and you buy your red and green this and your red and green that, and virtually none of it do I ever see is actually made in Australia. And you have to really, really wonder. And we've just had major industrial reform changes here that are going to sell the remaining real jobs overseas and force long-time workers into new contracts where they're working for basically, you know, two-thirds to 50% sometimes of what they had been making at a job they might have been doing for 20 years.
Well, the coming crash is not going to be anywhere near as comfortable as the one before. You know, the Dust Bowl crash time. That was going to seem like paradise to what's coming, because if we're not making our own food, if we're having to import everything, and we have nothing to import it with, what are we going to do?
And when the oil stops or gets too expensive, you know, to pull out of the ground, the food stops, and that's
right.
Something that people really have to get their head around.
Boy, my head's all the way around it already.
Oh, I know. You and I are, and so many of the people that we know are.
Yeah.
The general population has to start thinking about the fact that, you know, the stuff that you use every day should really come from close to you.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be trading internationally for the things that you already can make. This is one of the things that I really like Hartman on when he talks about, yes, international trade is good, but don't trade with each other in things that you both make. It doesn't do anybody a benefit except for the profiteering corporations. But CB, thank you so much for calling. We're coming up on a break.
Okay.
And we might as well try and get a little bit of normalcy going on here as I take over for the rest of the show from Bob. He has totally lost connection over in Alabama. I guess the storms that were coming in were serious. So you'll be riding with the Foxman in Sydney here for the next 45 minutes. Please, everybody, light those phone lines up, because I wasn't prepared for this, so you're riding with me. I'm doing breakfast radio, it seems, here. After we get back from the break, we have Luke hanging on the line. He's been there for a minute, so hang on, Luke. We'll be chatting in just a few. Ring in the conversation radio. This is John Fox taking care of Head On. We'll see you in a bit.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Planet Check. Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution. Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid. Filling in for Bob for the end of the show here is John Fox from Fourth Estate Radio. And yes, I'm running solo. No, Bruce Birch this time. He's off in California and I believe actually having a bit of a good time at the moment. Before we get back to the phones with Luke, I was scanning the news and I passed by a story. Supposedly there was a pay-per-view seance in which John Lennon rocked up and asked for peace. So John Lennon's still fighting for the cause from the other side. Isn't that nice to know? Hey, Luke, you there?
Luke? Hi, John.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Oh, okay. I tell you what, there's so many different stories, you don't know which way to go tonight.
You gotta catch me up because I just woke up and then suddenly was on air. So please okay. Catch me up.
Well, let's see. The one I'm loving right now is I think they were talking about today. They were talking about the fact that the House is going to take up this lobbying reform next. I think this next coming week or whatever it is. About the lobbyists and everything. You know how to fix
right.
That.
There were two bills up last I knew, one Republican, one Democrat, and the Republican one was pretty soft well, compared to the Democratic one. Is that right?
Well, yeah. Well, the thing it gets you is I knew this was not going to happen when after all this stuff broke with Abramoff, they had Brits come out there and go, well, we're going to put Rick Santorum in charge of doing this. This is Rick Santorum, who's the head of the K Street Project in the Senate. So essentially he's watching himself. You know what I mean?
It's like the Keystone Cops over there, you know? And these guys couldn't oversee, you know, their own toe jam, I swear.
The thing right now is the thing today was, you know, Bush's approval is now down to 32%. And I'm sitting there going, well, let's see, if we follow Republicans in the past, if I'm living on an island called Grenada, I think I better move. Of course, with Bush, he'll probably end up attacking Catalina, you know, so. But
you know
what I mean?
Really, I tell you the story in the news that, in the Wind's news that really kind of made me take pause was that Mexican story.
Which one's this?
I don't know if you caught that, but Vicente Fox sent the Mexican police in to a steel workers' strike, and they murdered five steel workers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, have you seen this thing, the one down in Miami, where it's the janitors at the, I believe it's the University of Miami, have been on a hunger strike.
Right.
Because they were getting like the barest minimum, you know what I mean, that they could pay them. And they're trying to unionize and won't let them do it. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's not looking good there either. And they had to take a handful of them to the hospital, you know what I mean, for medical reasons.
So, I'm, you know, Fox really, really ended up being, you know, I guess kind of like Tony Blair, not what he appeared to be, you know.
Most people seem to think, you know, the way everybody in the media tries to sell it is that all the Mexicans are all this great thing. But, you know, it's like if you listen to Tom and Mike, they'll tell you, you know, Mexico is an oligarchy. I mean, it's essentially family owned. You know what I mean?
Well, man, this is where this whole thing, it really twists me up because, I don't know, about a decade or more ago, I was living in Arizona and, a friend of mine and I got kind of involved with, a family from Mexico and we're talking about opening up an entertainment venue on our side of the border and they invited us over to check out some of their places. And I remember I ended up meeting one of the last of the remaining conquistadors, who was the head of this family, and they basically ran the town, right? But it was not in a way of fear or any of this. It was just they basically supplied all the jobs. You could eat off the streets. It was so clean, and they had this really lively, you know, community. It was amazing. But the one night I was out on this patio speaking with the son. Right? And he said to me, and this is, you know, over a decade ago, he said to me, he says, we are looking to get our money out of Mexico before Mexico crashes into a revolution. Mm-hmm. And he reckoned that they were only a couple of years away. And then Fox came in. And it appeared as though, in the beginning, as though maybe he was going to turn it back around. And I sat there and said, you know. Thank goodness they avoided this, because, I mean, they convinced me that, that Mexico was, you know, that the government at that time had been so corrupted and has so devalued their economy and everything else and was selling it off to the Americans. I mean, it's a two-way street. And it looks as though, basically, this guy came in and just maintained, you know, this status quo and basically put a happy face on it for the American people. And I really wish I still had contact with this family.
It's one of those things, like, say, you don't know. You know, I mean, it's like, what was it, somebody said the other day, said, you know, that people who voted for Bush saying Bush was a different kind of Republican. They said, you know, a lot of these people are saying, you've been happy with that vote now? You know?
Yeah. It's like, as Bob always says, how's that working for you?
Yeah, how's that working for you? Agreed.
And your book. And your support the troops sticker that was made in China, you know
I told Bob, I you may have heard, I told him, I said my favorite one I heard from somebody, I don't remember where, but I said the simplest bumper sticker we need for this election this time or now is had enough, you know.
I like it, and I'm told that was actually Peter's originally our friend Peter's line that
sounds fine. I've read it two places on the internet. You know what I mean. So after a while, you see
you
don't know where it comes from.
But you know, there has to be a point, and I think what's happening in music at the moment is showing how we might be actually getting to that tip over point. I don't know if a few folks might have been to the front page of the Head On Radio Network website. I have a link to a live version of this song, "Dear Mr. President" from Pink, which I think, man, what a killer bit of writing! And you have we already had Green Day lay the whole thing out with "American Idiot" as an epic.
What you got the single, you know, that they're playing all the time off of the Dixie Chicks' new album.
Oh, man, what a great song is that.
You know, we ain't going to change our mind. You know, because I'll be honest, you know, we had them come through here and everybody said, oh, well, it's going to be like, they had about a dozen protesters show up. And it's like the place was sold out.
I love it.
This is back a year ago, but you know what I mean. It's like their fans are still with them. It's just right now the big problem they've got is, like, say, the fact that the DJs won't play them. You know, that Clear Channel and all these others are just essentially saying, you know, we aren't going to play it.
Well, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, it proves that even Sony can't stop the art completely. Right. You see what Neil Young's getting ready to release, and completely for free. The entire album will be available for download on his website.
It's like one story I was seeing today is you may have seen this thing where they're running this tape of Cynthia McKinney, the congresswoman from down in Georgia.
Right.
Where apparently she said some things on tape. You know what I mean? But it's like I'm sitting there going, well, gee, now wait a minute. Now for the last 4 or 5 years. All our news media has really covered up every time Bush has really stuck his foot, you know, halfway down to his tonsils. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, we get to hear, you know, listening to the internet and stuff that Bush has said that does not get out to the general public. That, you know, if we pay attention, you know, those of us who pay attention, we know what's going on. But you know what I mean? They make sure that it's sanitized before he's played on the network news.
There's that one line in that Pink track that speaks to that says, you know, no child is left behind, you know, we're not dumb and we're not blind.
Well, you know, it's like that line, every once in a while you hear them play it on different bumpers for between Head On and Air America and all this thing, where he says, where Bush is always saying about that one, you know, where he's talking about, you know, fool me once, and it's like, you know, that's one of the ones, it's like, say, you know, I mean, when you hear it, you're just kind of going, didn't you have any of this written down? You know, it's like, well, you know, Clinton could do it off the cuff. You need it written on your cuffs. You know, that's the... I mean, this is a man who, if he hadn't got a teleprompter and a speech both laying in front of him, I'd be scared to death if I was on his team. You know what I mean? I'd have people out in the audience with signs ready to hold up for him. Because, like I say, him on his own is like, oh, God.
I'm waiting for, you know, I just had a flash of, I don't know if you ever heard the old story of when Aerosmith was in their most drug-induced days, that when they got to be more they got to the point where they wouldn't know what city they were in, so the front of house guy would put up a sign that would have the, you know, the city name on it, you know, and they could say, you know, hello Cleveland or whatever it was. Well, when the guys would get to be too much, they put the wrong city name on the card. You know, and they'd be like in Boston, they'd go, hello Chicago, and the crowd would just like fall silent. And I wonder if we could end up having some of that kind of stuff done with Bush's teleprompter. But
everybody hold up a different city or stuff to see what he says.
Between Bush and Cheney could be the new toxic twins.
Well, you know what it is. Well, you remember years ago, Robin Williams was doing SNL. He was doing Reagan, but he was doing the thing where Reagan, you know, had Reagan has the earpiece and he starts picking up radio stations. You know, and you got to wonder sometimes if somebody when Bush is out there doing it, if you want to stand over there with one of those Mr. microphones, you know.
It would be good. Hey, man, we've run over our half hour break, so we've got to take this. Thanks for so much for ringing in. It's always great to talk to you,
no
buddy.
No problem. Bye, John.
You take care of yourself. Goodbye. We're gonna take this break real quick, and I think we got Skype callers maybe even trying to come in. This is getting interesting. We got a half an hour left of John Fox and the Head On Radio. A hot seat. We'll be back after just a couple of messages, and we'll be taking more phone calls. I'm waking up here, folks. We've got a half an hour. Come, call up, rock my world. We'll see you on the other side.
Employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Hello, this is Isaac Hayes. Music and children. Have you ever wondered why young people take to music like fish to water? Maybe it's because music is fun, plain and simple. It offers kids a way to move their bodies and use their voices. It opens up their minds to dream about great dreams about where they can go and what they can do when they get older. As a young boy, I remember. Our kids, American kids, come from more cultures and backgrounds than any nation in history. And sometimes the most fertile common ground they share is that of music.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. March is Music in Our Schools Month.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Right on, Agnes. Great, great, great. Call on that bumper music. Because welcome back to Head On Radio, folks. When we went to the last break, Agnes played the Screamin' Jets. Sorry, guys. The Screamin' Jets doing Shivers, and a band that I've toured with. And that particular song used to be my cue to come running out with lit cigarettes for the different guys in the band. But anyway, brings back very, 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 very pleasant memories of real rock and roll here in Australia, and they got a new album coming sometime this year, and it's been about 8 years, so check them out at screamingjets.com.au. Anyway, I believe we have some audio from the one, the only, Mike Malloy, who decided to venture into the realm of the studios of the mainstream media to kind of step things up, because Randy Rhoads has been doing a lot of the fighting for our side kind of stuff, and Mike decided it was his turn to carry some water. And I'm not sure what program this was on, but I've heard the audio, and it's this host and a guy by the name of Ferguson, some right wing. I can only think of one word: wanker. He is a wanker. Malloy holds his ground beautifully, and as Agnes gets this clip set up, they throw out a question. It's all about you know, oil prices, rah 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 rah. And what I just love how Mike stands his ground. And in the chat room, after we get done with this clip, you know, take a hand poll. Is this guy a wanker or is he not a wanker? Speaking of Mr. Ferguson, so why don't you go ahead and roll that audio there, please, Agnes?
Began with a ruthless surprise attack on the United States. We will not forget that treachery, and we will accept nothing less than victory over the enemy.
Well, I think somebody needs to remind him yet again that Iraq had nothing to do with the attack on this country on September 11, 2001. Suggesting that Bush should institute some sort of price control or tax on profits implies that he's concerned about the American consumer. He is not. This is an oily administration. Bush, Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, these are all oil people. What is driving the price of oil are two things. First of all, Bush's foreign policy, which is one of threatening oil-producing countries and then invading them, which has the tendency to drive up future prices. Now, that's what we're paying for today at $75 a barrel.
All right. Now, I love how he just reminds everybody that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, and that this is an oily administration. Now, in the second clip is when you finally hear from the wanker. Just roll it, Agnes. He's just a wanker.
I would say to some people in America that are really mad about this right now, do you want to fight terrorism, or do you want cheap gas? Now you pick. Now personally, safe. If you're gonna go after places like you're saying, like Iran, to keep America safe, or Iraq or Afghanistan, other places like this, and making instability in the market to keep us safe, I'm okay with that. But here's the biggest difference between World War II and what we're dealing with now. During World War II, we rationed everything, not just gas. We were having to send tons of supplies overseas to troops. We're not having to do that here. And the other thing that's very interesting is you had 25 senators on the Democratic side vote with President Bush on his energy bill that passed in November. You had 75 Democratic congressmen that voted for Bush's energy bill. If they were so concerned about it in November and thought the president was such a bad, evil man, then why did they join him in such major numbers to pass an energy bill? The other thing that's interesting is this week the Democrats sent a memo out that said to all their candidates, you need to, there's a big fear in America, go to gas stations and capitalize on this fear. We have called it, but hold on, one candidate called the gas prices in America inhumane.
This is crazy talk. In the first place, you don't fight. You know, the choice is not affordable gas at the pump in a war on terror. For heaven's sake, get over that. What is driving the price of gas is Bush's foreign policy, which is that of a criminal. That's A. B, the domestic policy.
Hold on a second.
When the energy bill was passed, the United States Congress, led by Republicans, gave the oil industry a $1 billion tax break. This is on top of monumental profits. He can't.
He's not going to, and the reason why he shouldn't is because capitalism is what makes this country so great. Since when has it been a crime to make money?
Well, it's a crime to make money at the expense of the good of the people, as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, I'm sorry. This guy says it's an either-or decision? How insane is that? I mean, to me, that's just absolute nuttery. And it's nice to see Mike Malloy. I mean, I wonder how hard it was for him to, you know, go back into his old stomping ground like that and face these knob ends. The fact that this guy, you know, it just seemed like a completely programmed thing, and, you know, he's just so patronizing in his, when's it been a crime to make money? Well, you know what? It's just, it's a giveaway. Our country has been given away. And we need to get the bloody thing back. I mean, it's not even just America. It's not just the United States. Half of this planet has been sold off to corporate interests. You know, our national governments basically can be bypassed by the World Bank. You know? So it's not just a U.S. thing. Because this is happening everywhere. And it's the same players everywhere. You know, this is, you know, and as Agnes is reminding me, people are like hawking their lives at the pawn shops to get gas just to make it to the next payday. I mean, what is wrong? I mean, how can you say there's anything right with a system where people are going and hawking their family jewelry? You know, if I were in the situation over there, and I've been there before, but not over petrol, where, you know, I've had to give, you know, my guitars away to these bloody, you know, vultures. But unfortunately, it's a survive till the next paycheck thing. And once you get stuck into that cycle, you can get sucked down so fast. It's just unbelievable. Because I've been there. I can tell you, you know, many, many years ago, I went through that pawn shop thing as a young guy, struggling. And I lost a lot of beautiful instruments for spit of what they were worth. And, you know, all I did was get to eat for a week when I might have worked for months to acquire that because, well, they buy it at 10% maybe of its actual value and then are able to sell it off, you know. You know, grandma's hawking the silver for nothing. You bet, Agnes. I mean, you got to think about this, folks. It's not a good thing. It's just not a good thing any way you look at it. If you want to get in on the program, We've got a few minutes left here to, you know, exercise that demon if you need to. Ring in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we do have David on line one, but we'll take this quick break because we're trying to regain some normalcy here as we've had a rather interesting evening of technical jumping and hoop jumping and skipping and whatever. Anyway, folks, there's some music. We're going to take a quick break, come back to the phones, and this is John Fox in the head-on hot chair. Hot seat. We'll talk to you soon on the other side.
Yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
You know, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God, I thought it was so
ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway...
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send... something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of my grandmother is also my lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Everybody, welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bob had got disconnected. John Fox keeping the chair warm. We got a few minutes left here before we go out for the night. And straight away, I want to go right back to the phones so we can get David on line one. How you going, David?
How are you doing, John?
Ah, not bad, man. Finally getting into the groove of things as we wrap it up. What can I do for you?
Well, I just wanted to get your reaction on the Egypt bombing, and I have something to add after you, whatever you say on that.
Well, I actually only, all I saw was in the midst of chaos here this morning was just a bit of it go by the ticker on the local news here. I don't know much detail, so you might have to fill me in, really.
23 people have died. A bomb blast. I guess it was pretty bad for the resort and whatnot. But as I was saying to Agnes, I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I was mentioning that the reason, the more times we put out the fact that we consider terrorists, it's like a double-edged sword, because the more times we mention the terror and the terrorists, these people mm-hmm. want it, these extremists want to do it more.
It's... Now, you know, you have to wonder, you know, where does Egypt play in this?
I think the thing is, John, is that it has to deal with the culture that we live in and the media and whatnot. It's spontaneous. Like, you could watch a movie in the 80s and they would, like, be anti-terrorist, like Chuck Norris film. And then that kind of message to the Middle East would get over there slowly in newspapers and whatnot. I think with the result of everything being on the internet so quickly, I think that this is part of, like, be careful what you wish for syndrome.
I agree with you there, and I actually think that you know, the chaos in the region in general just plays into the game plan, the real game plan, not the one that they talk about.
But let's face it, John, these conservatives are addicted and fixated on terrorists, and you can see it in their eyes, and you can hear it in their voice.
Yeah, and if you believe in, you know, the theories of quantum physics, they talk about the fact that you create your own reality. So in that aspect, their sheer desire and hatred and feeling like they need to seek these people out, they end up almost creating them by their own focus.
I agree with you. And on that note, I wanted to know if you heard about that YouTube controversy.
No, sir. Tell me.
I think you should mention on 4th State because it's a really big deal. There was a video posted of American troops getting slaughtered by Muslim jihadists.
I heard something about this, and it had some sort of a soundtrack?
Yeah, it had a soundtrack on it. And what the amazing thing is, it makes you wonder, though, John, because the amazing thing is they didn't pull it immediately. It got 5,000 views. So you have to ask yourself, does YouTube really care about explicit, controversial material as much as they say they do, or are they just doing that for the views and whatnot? They also had another video broadcasted murder. I guess they've been having trouble with this. This is on the low. These people put these explicit, violent videos and whatnot.
Right.
I think YouTube inspires partly people to broadcast this stuff when they immediately don't take it down, because I've had videos pulled for just like copyright infringement in like 2 seconds, and I'm wondering how long does it take to have somebody getting blasted. I mean, I listened to the video. I couldn't watch it because it was pulled. I wouldn't watch it anyways, but I heard it on a radio show.
Yeah.
And they were screaming Allah Akbar, and it was just crazy. And everybody was saying that it's real and it's from a terrorist organization. And
man, I tell you what, I want to remind everybody of something that I mentioned, and I have to get these people on Fourth Estate sometime. And it's the Only Love Prevails concept, which is a global kind of thing of trying to shift the general energy of the planet over the kiltering point to where we get it to go the right direction again.
Before we go out, I just wanted to say these kind of scenarios remind me of that Cronenberg film, Videodrome. I'm serious. Think about it.
Man, there's so much that's surreal about our reality at the moment. I sometimes can see why some people would just want to get out. But I, you know, yeah, Logan's run, Agnes, you got one there. Mate, thanks for ringing in. I think I have to do the housekeeping before we get out of here. But I just want, on the Only Love Prevails thing, when one of these horrible things happens, just say to yourself in your mind, only love prevails. And just say it over and over like a quiet, silent mantra.
Like a
and maybe if we get... Yeah, and if we get enough people to do it, maybe we can actually get this horrible reality that they have generated to shift back to something in which the people
turn those prayer wheels.
Yeah, man. I think there's a lot to be said for those prayer wheels, says the agnostic. So thanks a lot for your call, man. It's always a pleasure.
No problem, John.
Have a good night. All right, everybody. You know, thanks, everybody, for ringing in. It's always a pleasure to keep the seat warm. I'm sorry that Bob wasn't able to finish off the night, because I would much rather be listening to Bob than listening to me. But anyway, as I do the bit of housekeeping, thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society, who streams and archives everything on the Head On Radio Network, plus Mike Malloy and many of our other favorite people that we love to listen to. Cup of Joe has a fundraiser going, and you can get him at cupofjoe.blogspot.com. Thank you to Agnes. She has been put under a strain like you wouldn't believe, and she pulled it out really, really well. Thank you, Agnes, for producing this show. And as you know, every night and every show on every night on the Head On Radio Network is brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights of West Virginia. They are building the American dream every single day. And you know what? They're helping us build our dream of launching this network, you know, and you know, we're all in this together, everybody. We gotta turn this thing around, folks. We gotta turn this thing around, and we might be just getting close. We just might be getting close. And as always, 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 RMR, it's all for you. Good night.